Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTN Group's Q1 trading update. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal for an operator by pressing star then zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Thato Mutlante. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks very much, Claudia. Good afternoon to everybody, and thanks very much for taking the time to dial into the discussion on MTN Group's trading update for the first quarter ended 31 March 2022. My name is Thato Mutlante. I'm Head of Group Investor Relations. On the call with me, I've got Ralph Mopitlwe, who's our Group CEO, as well as Tsholo Molefe, who's our Group CFO. Just a reminder that the trading update was published this morning on the JSE and is posted up on our website on the investor relations page. I trust that you've also seen the Q1 releases from our listed operating companies in Nigeria, Ghana, Uganda, and Rwanda, which we've added to the reporting lineup, and they've published over the past couple of weeks. For today's call, it's my pleasure just to hand over to Ralph and Tsholo shortly, who will provide an overview of the business and financial performance, as well as give you some outlook remarks at the end before we open up for Q&A. Just a note finally that the call is scheduled for about an hour, after which we'll close. On that note, let me just hand over to Ralph. Ralph?
Yeah. Thanks very much, Thato, and very good afternoon from me as well to all the investors who've joined us this afternoon. I trust everybody is keeping well. We do appreciate you joining us on this call at a time that there's a lot of geopolitical and macroeconomic events roiling the market, demanding your time and attention. I hope you've had a chance to go through the comprehensive trading update SENS we published earlier this morning. Onto the trading update. We were encouraged by the healthy performance delivered across our markets under challenging macroeconomic conditions and new regulatory developments. From an operational standpoint, the group has delivered solid results in the quarter and is tracking well against our medium-term targets with double-digit service revenue growth in constant currency terms, the expansion of EBITDA margins, and the holdco leverage remaining well within the guidance as we execute our Ambition 2025 strategy. Tsholo and I will unpack our performance covering five broad themes, starting with the challenging macroeconomic environment and regulatory developments we are navigating through. The solid operational and financial performance recorded will be the second theme that I'll cover. Thirdly, I'll update on some of our strategic priorities, and at that point, I'll hand over to Tsholo to take you through a bit more detail on the financial performance covering the key markets and regions. Tsholo will also cover the fourth theme, which is the strong balance sheet and liquidity position of the group. After that, I'll come back to wrap up with the outlook and some concluding remarks. Let me kick off with the context on the challenging macroeconomic environment. As I'm sure many of you are aware, over the past few months, we've seen an increase in macroeconomic volatility being driven by the recent global events, which is feeding through to our operating markets. In addition to the socioeconomic impacts of COVID-19 continuing to affect our trading environment, rising inflation and interest rates are an additional set of impacts across the markets, putting consumer discretionary spending under pressure. Communication spend has been relatively more resilient in the past in terms of consumer and business expenditure, but not entirely immune to the global macroeconomic shocks experienced in the quarter. The monetary and fiscal positions in many of the markets we operate in have been challenged, resulting in currency weakness against the dollar. We've also seen some disruption in supply chains, for example, handsets in South Africa. And to mitigate the risks of network rollout, we've put in place contingencies that include an acceleration of capital expenditure in quarter one with a focus on securing radios for our 4G and 5G expansion plans. In South Africa, the province of KwaZulu-Natal was hit with heavy rainfalls causing floods in many parts of that province, impacting lives and livelihoods. The floods also caused damage to infrastructure with a total of more sites being down in the province. We did activate our contingency plans and managed to restore just over 90% of the affected sites to full capacity. So there are about 47 sites left, which we are working to restore. Load shedding from the national grid has impacted network availability in South Africa, and we have increased investments in batteries and generators ahead of the winter period, where we anticipate load shedding risks to remain persistent. From a regulatory perspective, the securing of an additional 100 megahertz of multi-band spectrum in South Africa was a major positive milestone to support the 4G and 5G expansion plans we have in this market. In Ghana, the e-levy was promulgated through Parliament, and in Nigeria, the NCC issued a directive to bar circuit switch voice calls for subscribers who had not linked their NINs to their SIMs. These regulatory developments did not impact the Q1 trading performance, and I will comment on these later in the outlook section at the end. So that's a high-level summary of our macro and trading environment. If I move to the second theme, which is the delivery of a solid operating and financial performance in challenging macroeconomic environment. As I mentioned, we are encouraged by the sustained commercial momentum and solid execution across our markets. In our commercial trends, subscribers grew 3.2% year-on-year to reach approximately 276 million. You would recall that this was impacted by the decline in subscribers in MTN Nigeria arising from the revised SIM registration regulations in the country. Adjusting for Nigeria, total subscribers were up 3.9% year-on-year, so solid underlying commercial momentum. Encouragingly, MTN Nigeria added 1.7 million subscribers during quarter one, which is a good trajectory continued from the 1 million subscribers added in Q4 2021. Subscriber growth in South Africa was very encouraging, giving us a good growth platform for the trading period ahead. The structurally higher demand for data services was sustained with robust growth in our traffic trends. Looking at the year-on-year trajectory, overall group data traffic increased by 45%. And within that mix, MTN SA traffic was up 47%, Nigeria up 85%, and MTN Ghana up around 55%. We're pleased to secure permanent high-demand spectrum in MTN SA. This will enable us to ramp up investment to increase coverage, including our 5G offering, and this will also support the data traffic growth going forward. Our commercial execution drove a solid overall financial performance. Group service revenue up by 16% in cost and currency terms, with EBITDA margins improving by 2.2 percentage points to just over 46%, supported by our expense efficiency program. So this resulted in EBITDA growth of 21% in constant currency, reflecting sustained operating leverage in our businesses. Sulu will unpack the financial performance in a bit more detail, but it's just worth noting that both data and fintech delivered strong results, up 37% and 21% respectively. Fintech had a few dynamics, which I will go into a little bit later, but we are focused on driving growth in our connectivity business and driving recurring usage on our fintech platform, with a focus on new product launches to grow advanced services. The third theme is our strategic priorities, and I'll just spend a bit of time unpacking some of the detail on the fintech business. Firstly, on the performance, we continue to scale and accelerate the fintech ecosystem across our markets. Looking at the main KPIs and drivers, our active monthly fintech users increased by 25.9% year-on-year to end at just over 58 million. If I turn to fintech transaction volumes processed through our ecosystem, this increased by 33% in quarter one to 2.9 billion transactions, and values increased by 19% in constant currency terms to just under $60 billion. The transaction value was impacted by two things. Firstly, by new commission earning rules that we implemented in Ghana during Q3 2021 with an aim to improve margins, which was achieved. If we adjust for this, the underlying transaction value grew by 34% in constant currency terms. We also reduced the pricing umbrella in Cote d'Ivoire as a response to aggressive competition by Wave, a new market entrant in that market. Reduced our P2P and withdrawal pricing, and Sulu will talk about the service revenue development. But what was quite encouraging is that we have seen a recovery and acceleration of fintech users and usage in Cote d'Ivoire as Q1 2022 progressed. We remain confident of our recovery plan in Cote d'Ivoire, where we anticipate fintech service revenue to be back in growth by Q4 2022, driven by user growth and the launch of advanced services. We had strong traction in growing our payments and e-commerce ecosystem, where we grew the number of merchants accepting Momo payments by 47%, and this closed at more than 765,000 merchants in the at the end of Q1. The momentum in total value of Momo merchant payments was also very strong and increased by 125% to just on $4.3 billion. So we will continue to roll out our self-onboarding of merchants to help entrench the momentum and growth we're seeing in our payments and e-commerce verticals. The BankTech vertical is also showing good momentum in the key drivers, and we had a 28% increase in total loan value to reach around $280 million. Our BankTech offering benefits from the scale of our mobile wallet and customer footprint, which we'll continue to leverage. In our InsurTech platform, we closed Q1 2022 with 17.4 million registered IO policies, reflecting a growth of just under 38% year-on-year. Active policies actually reduced by 31.1%, and this was due to a deliberate shift in the strategy to focus on high average revenue per policy and new revenue streams, particularly in Uganda, resulting in the termination of free policy. Active policy growth was also impacted by platform migration and integration challenges as we shifted to a proprietary infrastructure. We are building this business in a sustainable way, and we anticipate a return to growth in active paid policies in the year ahead with high average revenue per policy. Overall, we are pleased with the scaling of the fintech ecosystem, underlying service revenue growth and resilience of the business. In terms of our overall fintech strategy, the final approval of Momo PSB license in Nigeria by the CBN was a critical milestone. It will enable us to launch the PSB before the end of Q2 2022 and invest in its rollout with the ability to offer a broad range of services. In terms of partnerships, our InsurTech joint venture with Sanlam is undergoing regulatory approvals across the various markets we're operating, and we anticipate launching the JV in early H2 2022. The structural separation of fintech is on track for Q2, and as we have guided previously, the key focus on that front will then to be establish fintech as a separate business and assessing the opportunities for minority strategic investment by the end of this year. Some quick highlights on the asset realization program. You would recall that we completed Series 1 of MTN Nigeria public offer earlier in the year for expected overall proceeds of 3.6 billion rand. We are pleased to have been able to upstream net proceeds of 708 million rand so far. This is a key milestone in the execution of our ARP. We continue the work to upstream the balance, and we will pursue our commitment to further localize the shareholding in Nigeria, as indicated previously, as we successfully repatriate the balance of cash still in Nigeria. Last year, we also announced the sale of MTN SA's passive tower infrastructure and obtained the necessary regulatory approvals. We are expecting the 5.2 billion rand in net proceeds from that transaction to flow before the end of Q2 2022. The further localization of MTN Ghana has gained good traction. In Q1, we increased our localization from 17.5% to 18.7%, and we received cash proceeds of 272 million for this further localization. Post the quarter end, a transaction was concluded to localize a further 5% of MTN Ghana, which brings the total localization to 23.7%. So we are on track to achieve the 30% localization for Ghana and remain committed to deepen local ownership in that market. Finally, before I hand over to Tulu, we are very pleased by the progress we're making as the MTN Group in driving broad-based transformation. We achieved the level one contributor status for both MTN Group and our SA operation. And this is a truly major milestone. As MTN Group, we see broad-based transformation and making socioeconomic impact in South Africa as a key to our sustainability and creating shared value. So at this point, let me hand over to Tulu, and I'll come back to make concluding remarks at the end. Tulu?
Thank you very much, Ralph, and good afternoon to everyone. It is my pleasure to run you through some of our financial highlights for the first quarter of this year. Ralph gave you some of the headline numbers. which I think is important to emphasize, were delivered against ongoing challenging trading conditions impacted by current global events and COVID-19. So continuing with our themes for this call, I will now cover a little bit more in a little bit more detail the financial performance, and as usual, I will refer to constant currency trends. With Nigeria and Ghana having been provided comprehensive reports for their performance, as we indicated, Nigeria grew approximately 22% on service revenue and 35% Ghana service revenue with healthy EBITDA margins. I think it's worth just highlighting some of the details from MTN South Africa, which is our second largest market. MTN SA grew service revenue by 4.6%, underpinned by commercial and operational execution, which yielded service revenue growth in all the core business units. The service revenue result in South Africa was against a tough comparable of 7% growth for Q1 2021, so really strong execution from the business. Overall, mobile data revenue was 14.3% higher, supported by increased data users and strong data traffic growth. In the consumer business unit, prepaid service revenue grew by 1.5%, impacted by economic pressure, particularly in the lower income consumer segment. The offset of voice substitution remained a challenge. However, MTN SA continues to work on ERM optimization initiatives to reduce this impact. Postpaid service revenue grew by 4.4%, benefiting from data-oriented packages. These performances were resilient in highly competitive and challenging trading environment. Service revenue growth was helped by solid subscriber additions. The enterprise business unit delivered another healthy performance. Service revenue growth of 23.1%, supported by sustained growth in data deals, bulk SMS, and the ICT business. The core mobile business continues to gain market share with sustained distribution channel expansion and strong product propositions. The outlook for sustained growth is encouraging as the business unit leverages off being a service provider to national government and the strong network quality. Turning to wholesale, MTN SA grew service revenue by 1.9%, driven by national roaming deals with Cell C and Telkom. For Cell C, revenue recognition remains on a cash basis, as Cell C continues to work towards its recapitalization. MTN SA recognized 643 million in national roaming revenue from Cell C, and the balance of 400 million remained unrecognized as at the 31st of March 2020. The new multi-year national roaming agreement with Telkom, which you will recall came into effect on 1st November 2021, continues to scale steadily, and MTN SA is focused on further enablement of infrastructure sharing through the investment in the expansion of network capacity. MTN SA grew its EBITDA by 3.7% and delivered a slight increase of 0.1% percentage point in EBITDA margins to 39.9%. This was on the back of the solid service revenue performance, which I just provided some color on, as well as the disciplined execution of our expense efficiency program. Just briefly on the regional performances, you would have seen that growth was quite solid. All regions delivered double-digit top-line growth, with the SIA up 12.7%, WECA up 17%, and the MENA region up 83.4%. The latter excludes MTN Irancel, which we equity account for. That OpCo grew service revenue by 26.6%. The WECA and MENA region improved their margins on a blended basis, which is quite pleasing. The SIA region's blended EBITDA margin came slightly under pressure due to increased costs, mainly from MTN Rwanda. I also just want to elaborate a bit on the performance of MTN Cote d'Ivoire and MTN Cameroon. Ralph spoke about this earlier, but MTN Cote d'Ivoire saw pressure on the top line growth due to a decline in fintech revenue from zero rating of person-to-person and price reduction for withdrawals driven by intensified competition in the market during the second half of 2021. This has had dampening effect on the service revenue growth and of MTN Côte d'Ivoire, which was slightly down by 0.9%, as well as an overall group fintech revenue, which increased by 21.1%. As mentioned, we anticipate a return to growth in Côte d'Ivoire's fintech revenue, which should underpin our overall growth trajectory in the OpCo and in group fintech top line overall. MTN Cameroon's EBITDA margin declined by 1.9 percentage point and was impacted by provisions for taxes on mobile money transfers as well as withdrawals. We remain confident that both operations remain on a strong foundation to grow over the medium term. Just very briefly on CapEx before I talk about our balance sheet. We have capitalized 7 billion rand in the quarter. To reiterate, we are committed to sustaining the investment in our networks and platforms in line with our capital allocation framework. This is key in supporting the growth and our overall 2025 ambitions. As mentioned earlier, there was some accelerated CapEx to mitigate against supply chain risks. Looking at the balance sheet and liquidity position, which is the fifth theme, our balance sheet is in a very good shape. At consolidated group level, our net debt to EBITDA of 0.3 times at March 2021 remained comfortably within covenants, and our HoldCo leverage showed further improvement. HoldCo leverage is now at 0.9 times versus 1 times at the end of December 2021. So we are progressing well in further deleveraging of our balance sheet. This was enabled by the progress in cash upstreaming. We have streamed 2.9 billion from our operations in the first quarter, which included 643 million from Nigeria. Post the quarter end, there has been some further upstreaming from the proceeds, some upstreaming of the proceeds from Nigeria Series 1 public offer, and Ralph mentioned that we received an amount of 708 million. Finally, we are pleased to see Moody's Investor Services upgrade our credit rating outlook to stable from negative, reflecting our strong financial performance and reduction in leverage. This aligns very much with our targets and what we are trying to achieve within the Ambition 2025, including optimizing our funding mix. I will pause here and now hand over back to Ralph. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tsulu. I'll sum up with some outlook and concluding remarks before we open up the lines. So we are quite encouraged by the resilience of the business and its performance to date. As mentioned, tracking well against medium-term targets for service revenue, expanding margins supported by overall our expense efficiency program and very good progress in our deleveraging faster ambition. It is important to just call out a few of the dynamics you should consider as you look at the shape of the remainder of the year. I think the first thing, as I mentioned earlier, is that we anticipate that our markets will be impacted by the global trends of high interest rates and inflation of energy and food prices. Geopolitical volatility exacerbated by the conflict in Ukraine is further impacting these trends and affecting currencies, asset prices, and supply chains. On current macroeconomic and operating assumptions, we anticipate these factors to slightly moderate our EBITDA margin evolution in the short term. This is particularly when considering the additional investment required to accelerate NIN enrollment and verification and the launch of PSB services in Nigeria and high energy-related expenses where we have diesel pass-through costs in tower agreements. We have these diesel pass-through costs with ATC in some of our markets such as Ghana, Uganda, and South Africa, and part of the portfolio of Nigeria. You know, within the context of Nigeria, we just have about 2,200 towers of the 17,000 portfolio with ATC. For South Africa, the operation remains impacted by the continued disruption to power supply from Eskom. We anticipate network availability will be affected by load shedding going forward, certainly in the near term. But we will be compensating with batteries and generators to largely mitigate this as we get into the second half of this year. We are also focused on implementing the SA tower deal with IHS and anticipating financial close before the end of Q2 2022. The focus in Nigeria will be on driving ongoing growth in the subscriber and revenue base in the context of prevailing Nielsen registration restrictions, as well as launching the PSB services. EBITDA margin may be slightly impacted in the near term by these effects, but we remain committed to achieving margins within the 53-55 range that we've communicated as our aspiration over the medium term. MTN Nigeria updated the market on the NIN developments a couple of weeks ago, and that was a follow-on on the detailed call we had earlier in April. As we have executed our NIN recovery initiatives, we are seeing a gradual and encouraging turnaround as the affected subscribers are reconnected to resume voice calls. So we are seeing the key trends moving in a positive overall direction. Within FinTech, during Q1, we implemented new mobile money taxes in Benin and Cameroon. We also made further P2P pricing adjustments in response to ongoing competition in Cote d'Ivoire to continue to stimulate usage and user growth. And we are also have now implemented the e-levy tax in Ghana and are adjusting our pricing to limit the impact on usage in that market. It is too early to comment on these impacts and trends overall of these new taxes, but we will provide comprehensive details with our H1 results where we'll have more data. The final award of the PSB in Nigeria will be key to drive our fintech growth over the medium term. We are planning the commercial launch of PSB services I mentioned earlier before the end of Q2 2022, so that's somewhere within the next 6 weeks, we will be launching commercial and live in Nigeria. In terms of some of our other strategic programs, the work to structurally separate our fintech and fiber businesses is ongoing and remain on track. We are focused on scaling the fintech ecosystem, shifting the product mix to advanced services, and securing a few select strategic partnerships that will support the scaling of the business sustainably and getting these all done before the end of this year. On the Middle East exit, we continue to explore an orderly exit of Afghanistan. Are you well aware of the challenges in Afghanistan? And as when we have made progress, we will communicate to the market, even if it's before the results release in August of this year. We remain focused on executing our Ambition 2025 strategy to drive growth, deleverage the whole co balance sheet faster, and unlock values for our shareholders. Our CapEx guidance for FY 2022, as Sule has mentioned, is unchanged at 34.4 billion, and we are maintaining our group enhanced medium term guidance framework. And on that note, let me hand the call over to Tato and the operator for Q&A that Sule and I will take.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Ralph and Sulu, for that overview of our progress in Q1. I think at this point we can hand back over to Claudia to facilitate Q&A. Thanks, Claudia.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone or on the keypad on your screen. If you decide to withdraw your question, please press star, then two to remove yourself from the list. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. The first question comes from Prasendran Odiar from NetBank. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks and congratulations on the quarterly results. I've got three questions if I can. The first one is on Nigeria. And what exchange rate did you repatriate the cash from at? And what are the reasons why there's still the remaining balance that hasn't been upstream? What is the bottlenecks for getting that cash out? The second, are you able to tell us what percentage of your wholesale revenue is coming from telecom at the moment, or is it still too early to give us some detail on that? And then the last one is, I think your enterprise business unit in South Africa has shown an accelerated growth for the 10th consecutive quarter now. How much of that is actually coming from the government contract that you guys were awarded late last year? That's it from me. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the three questions. I'll ask Tulu to take the first one, and then I'll give some color on the latter two.
Yeah, thanks, Christian, for your questions. I mean, as you recall, we still follow the same process that we followed before, At this stage, what we have been able to upstream at is at around just over 490 naira. But essentially, obviously, it is an average because it is based on the number of applications that we have made that come through at spot and then discounted into spot. As we said, it is a, as we said previously, it's a combination of spots and forwards, but mainly weight on the forwards.
Yeah, maybe to your two letter questions. So on the wholesale side, you know, it's largely still sell C. It does take time to get that wholesale national roaming agreement all set up across our sites. You know, we have a minimum commit of 10 million per month. So what I can say to you without revealing all the details is as the quarter progressed, we started getting, you know, a little bit above that. So you, with, as you work through the numbers, this is still all largely cell C, and you know, we will ramp up through the year on the Telkom national roaming contract. So Telkom is still relatively de minimis as the sites you know, get arranged for much broader national roaming. On enterprise, as you say, you know, we've had very solid you know, growth, and many thanks to Wanda and his team and the overall SA team. I mean, we've been getting broad-based growth in enterprise, you know, as you said, you know, for several quarters. The RT15 contract, which is the government contract you mentioned, you know, obviously, you know, we were successful in being chosen as one. It's not exclusively just us. So, you know, pretty much all the other carriers are competing for this business. But I think we've made good progress in this quarter in being able to secure. So I wouldn't want to leave the impression that it's all the government business, which, as I said, we started seeing some effects coming into particularly quarter four last year, and then obviously some into quarter one this year. So it's kind of broad-based, private sector, government, and growth in the, you know, that's on the core mobility, but also on ICT services. I think that question you should hold, you know, on enterprise, you know, probably for another 12 months. Because, I mean, we're still having ports. Even if you get awarded, you know, there's got to be ports out from Vodacom still to, you know, to work through. So it isn't the only source of growth. It's broad-based growth within our enterprise business.
Perfect. Thanks. Thanks, Ralph and Sulu. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question comes from Madhvendra Singh from HSBC. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, hi. Thanks a lot for taking my question. Three quick questions. The first is on Uganda and Rwanda. ARPUs look much lower than the recent rate. So is there something changing in terms of calculation, or that's really the decline in ARPUs, the real decline in ARPUs? The second question is on South Africa. Just wondering, if you were to adjust for the negative impact of the floods and power outages, what would have been the underlying service revenue growth trend in South Africa? And finally, you know, the point about the mobile money pressure you are seeing in Ivory Coast. So wondering, you know, what do you know about the competitor, you know, which all markets do you compete with them? And do you see any risk of them entering, you know, like rest of African markets as well, given your understanding of the regulatory approval processes and time it takes and so on? So how, what's the risk that, you know, the pressure you are seeing in Ivory Coast kind of spills over in other markets? Thank you.
Thanks for those three questions. I'll give the ARPU questions to Tsulu, but let me start with, can we start with 3, 2, 1? So, you know, Tsulu will answer last. Yeah, I mean, as I, you know, the main pressure we've seen with Wave, you know, coming in as an OTT player, was actually in Cote d'Ivoire. And as we've, we communicated this, I think, with the Q3 trading update that, you know, we were taking decisive action to be, to respond, where we reduced P2P pricing. I mean, we talk about the pricing umbrella, and the pricing umbrella was widest in Cote d'Ivoire, which I guess made it, you know, very simple, you know, for Wave to come into that market and challenge both ourselves and Orange. So, you know, when they set up, we immediately, you know, took a medium-term strategic decision is to pull back on pricing on P2P and growth. And we've always said that, you know, the basic services, you know, will need to transition. The fintech model needs to transition to advanced services over time. So we took a decision actively to cut pricing to start building the user base. And as I said in my comments, I think we've been very encouraged with the user growth. So back in Cote d'Ivoire, we're back above, we saw good growth, you know, over 500,000, you know, mobile money subscriber growth in the quarter. So that use, that base growth and what we track on a monthly basis, you know, we see ourselves back in growth by quarter four this year. So I think our response in Cote d'Ivoire has taught us a lot, and you know, we're encouraged by the progress we're seeing. So where else are we seeing them? We're seeing them in Benin and Uganda. And in those markets, the pricing umbrella was not as wide as we've had in a market like in Cote d'Ivoire. And there's basically no kind of pricing umbrella to work with if you are coming into a market like Ghana. And obviously in Nigeria, we will launch with the Future Fit proposition. So that's a response on the mobile money competition. On South Africa, I mean, I think it's you know, we won't disclose the impact, but suffice to say, as I mentioned, we had 500 sites which were able to restore very quickly. And as I said, we only got 47. We have 12,500 sites in MTN SA. So the impact is relatively de minimis. If we hadn't been able to restore the 500 sites, you know, we would be looking forward and you know, making some sort of a broader statement. But I mean, for us, it's more the impact socioeconomically in KZN that's concerning. I mean, the big issue, as I said, in South Africa is watching what happens with load shedding towards network availability. But we do have a plan, as a resilience plan, as we call it, to up the investment in batteries and generators to ensure high network availability. And IHS coming in, you know, ideally, you know, as we start H2 to manage, you know, our towers, you know, we've already been planning our work. That's actually a bigger and an issue than KZN. Sulu, on the ARPUs?
Yeah. So thanks. On the ARPUs, thanks for picking that one up. There was an error in the data that crept in for Uganda and Rwanda specifically, and we have since rectified it. So if you download the same from the website, you will get the correct numbers. We do apologize for that inconvenience. Of course, there has been a reduction in ARPU in areas like Cote d'Ivoire, mainly driven by the drop in fintech revenue, while your active subscriber growth, subscribers base has increased.
Thank you very much. This was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Jonathan Kennedy Good from JP Morgan. Please proceed, Jonathan.
Good afternoon. A couple of questions from me. Just on the fintech taxes in Benin, Cameroon, and obviously Ghana being implemented now, are the banks subject to the same level of taxation, i.e. is it uniformly applied across the sector? And then secondly, in Benin and Cameroon, can you give us a sense of the quantum of these taxes? And then finally, I perhaps didn't really understand the comments on the Ghana Commission earning rules being implemented last year to improve margins. I think there was a comment that impacted transaction value in that market. I'm just trying to understand why you would move to improve margin rather than capture market share in that market.
Okay. Jonathan, let's start with your second question. So what we observed in the Ghana markets late last year is that agents were taking a particular transaction and slicing it up and as a way to earn more commission. So what that then affects, obviously, is higher cost of sales. And we took you know, measures towards managing that did affect the overall transaction value. So you know, we're pushing out you know, we reduced the overall commissions paid, and that's where it comes and impacts our margins positively. But we also saw that that was an opportunity that they were creating a little bit of, we use the word internally, it's not exactly that, but we use the word kind of arbitrage is what the guys in Ghana, were noticing. So we think it's, the thing will kind of normalize as we go through several quarters, but we think that commission structure changes is a sustainable. And to your point around market shares in a market like Ghana, I mean, I think we have decent, market shares just given our market position there. On the fintech taxes, I mean, these are generally, they are set up from a regulatory perspective as taxes on electronic transactions or mobile money. And so, they largely impact, mobile money businesses. Given the structure of the banking markets, which you will know well, is that the retail banking market is actually, very underpenetrated, which creates an opportunity for ourselves. So, we've got all these taxes, across the markets. I think the most mature one is the one that we referenced, which is the Ghana one, which is at the 1.5% levy. And we're implementing it in a three-phased approach. The first is, we are implementing it within the kind of 100 cedi threshold. We're implementing across our own base. We are going to have to create a common system across operators where we need to monitor the 100 cedis across, the full set of operators will be the next, steps that will then follow. So, I mean, I guess in Cameroon and Benin, for now, I mean, I would simply say, look, they're not as material as for Ghana, but we will monitor and, report on all of this as we progress. We've had similar taxes in a market like Uganda, as you will well remember. And obviously, we've recovered through that, after, a couple of reporting periods.
Thank you. If I may ask one more question for Tsolo, on the, could you just remind us where we are on total US dollar debt at the moment, given the upstreaming since year end?
Yeah, so it has not moved since the Q1, so we still have the Eurobonds that expire 2024 and 2026, so 750 and 500 million USD. So we currently, in terms of mix, at 61% to 31%. So 61% rand and 39% dollar debt. Yeah. But as we said, the intention is to start looking at early redemption subject to market conditions and bondholders' appetite.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Myron Rotaratnam from MIFA. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity. The first question is, I'm trying to get a sense of how much more wholesale revenue is still to come from Celsi. I mean, I think the plan is to have the full prepaid base roam on MTN, Celsi's plan from what I remember. What percent of their traffic are you carrying, of the prepaid traffic are you carrying at the moment, so that we can get a sense of how much more there is. And the second question is, we saw very good growth in enterprise. I mean, I know you answered earlier Prashendran's question, but, first quarter of last year you grew 17% and now you grew 23%. I mean, that's resounding growth. So maybe just some color as to how much road is left here on this runway, how much runway is left here. Because, if it's quality and network related, then, and clearly, you have a better speeds and better network quality at the moment. If you see the My Broadband studies and things like that, your speeds are sometimes double what Vodacom has. So is that related, or is it more just, something that's like the government contract or something else that's sort of happening now but might not have a lot of legs left in it? And the last one is, in your big operations like Nigeria and Ghana, you sort of disclosed the smartphone penetration, but can you tell us what's your 4G enable or capable handset penetration in those markets, Ghana and Nigeria? Thanks.
All right, thanks very much. You always ask difficult questions, and we'll try and answer them. Let's start with on the wholesale revenue. I mean, look, Cell C are in a process of recapitalization, and you know, they move pretty much most of the traffic. You are aware of the postpaid book that I think is you know, being managed you know, by Vodacom, but you know, pretty much, you know, the rest of prepaid is on you know, on the MTN network. Yeah, and I mean, to me, the scope for growth is, you know, how do they get recapitalized and how competitive do they become, and that will be the factor that drives you know, the growth that we have, and because we, those are uncertainties, you know, we've remained on the cash basis of accounting. So I think it would be responsible for me to say, you know, we think there's X still to come from Cell C. You know, we kind of, you know, looking for the first indicator, which is the recap, and then obviously, you know, solid trading. And as they trade and get more market share, and you know, with our current relationship, we should grow. So for us, I mean, the issue there is probably more, you know, what growth we can get out of Telkom. Just on the enterprise side, I mean, I take you back to around 2018 where we, you know, Wonder and team did come through, and we did, you know, make a confession, so to speak, that, you know, MTN had been under indexing in the enterprise space, where we had pivoted quite a lot towards ICT and not focused on the kind of core connectivity business. And that if we had a good network, had a good product portfolio and a good sales and a go-to-market team, and got, you know, 30% of our share, because we were not getting 30% share, you know, we should naturally be, you know, picking up the market. So, you know, it's 10 quarters of, you know, double-digit growth that we've seen from a business that was actually, you know, kind of probably ex-growth pre-2017. So, for sure, the RT15 is, you know, has been helpful towards the back end of Q4 and Q1. But on a year-on-year basis, doesn't tell the full story. And that's why I did say that, you know, in a year's time, you know, when we've kind of lapped the start of RT15 coming across, you know, that's when we, you know. So, I mean, if you said in our own internal meetings, you know, the point of paranoia is, you know, when we've lapped RT15, you know, we're going to have to keep growing. And I think the main point there is that, you know, we want to have a broad, diversified growth, enterprise, private sector, as well as the public sector, core connectivity and ICT services. And obviously, with 5G coming on, there are also opportunities there. Edge and all manner of things, you know, create opportunities for Wonder's business. On your point around 4G handsets, I don't think we disclose that. We just talk about data-capable devices. So we include 3G, 4G. You're raising a question on disclosure, so we'll talk to Jens about, you know, disclosing 3G and 4G. But whenever we talk smartphone, we talk about data-capable handsets. So these include 3G and 4G. We don't normally disclose that split, but, you know, we'll take that as feedback and consideration for other reporting periods.
Fair enough. And maybe I can squeeze in one last one. In Côte d'Ivoire, did the other large mobile money operator, I mean, I'm not familiar with the market as much as I should be. I think it's Orange, but did they also cut back the you know, the fees like you did? Is it an industry-wide move?
Yeah, they did. I mean, look, on the wave thing, and you know, I don't know if we're wave people and investors sitting on this call, but I think what we learned was that you know, Wave originated in Senegal, so they started in Senegal and built up, you know, quite a sizable business. I think it was 5 million subs actually in Senegal. And our read of it, we don't operate there, but our read of it is Orange didn't react. So they also reacted in Côte d'Ivoire. You know, quite similar to us. We don't know exactly what their profile is in terms of recovering the base and seeing improving trends. But they are the other large operator, and they did, you know, as I mentioned earlier on, reduce the kind of pricing umbrella on P2P, you know, to remain competitive. I think they released their results, and they've made similar comments to what we said around Côte d'Ivoire.
Great. Thanks so much, Ralph.
Thank you. At this time, we can only take one final question. The next question comes from Nadim Mohammed from SBG Securities. Please proceed, Nadim.
Good afternoon, and well done on an excellent set of results. Seeing that there's only one more question, I'll just ask a question on IO. I noticed that you are changing the strategy away from, you know, the free policies. I assume that means, you know, the policies that were offered upon recharging and so on. I just would like to understand how you repositioning it. What are the kind of products and let's say problem points that you are trying to address, you know, through the change in strategy? And lastly, what kind of ARPUs are you looking at getting from these kind of policies as you change the strategy?
Yeah, look, I mean, on the IO, let me start with the long-term strategy. I mean, our long-term strategy is the partnership that we are looking to launch in H2, as soon as we've got all the regulatory approvals. And just to give you guys a color, if you do a Pan-African deal, you've got to go through all the regional and national, you know, regulators, and we've been able to kind of pretty much navigate that now. I think we've probably got a month or two to close on all the areas. But I think what we want to be building is an insurtech business that is a stable and profitable policy book. I think if you look at, you know, previously our policies were high, but, you know, very de minimis contribution to service revenue. So what we're doing is a bit of a preemptive action to start reducing, to your point, you know, some of the free policies that are active but are actually not delivering any, you know, meaningful economics to ourselves and or potential JV partner. So I think you must see it as a bit of a cleanup of that base, particularly in the policy base we had in Uganda, and preparing for what we anticipate will be actually a better correlation between registered policies, active policies, and a growing revenue base, ultimately, you know, being profitable. So that's what we were busy kind of, you know, consciously cleaning up ahead of the tie-up with Sanlam, as I said, which we anticipate, you know, formally kicks off in the early parts of H2, subject to the final regulatory processes.
Excellent. And if I may just squeeze in one other question. During this June Q1, were there any price increases on postpaid, or are they coming later on in the year?
No, there were. We did announce in South Africa. I think we said, you know, on average was about, Sulu's going to remind me, I've lost the date, 5%, yeah, so 5%. You know, obviously there's, you know, we're also absorbing inflation, so we can't just take all the hit on inflation across our market. So on postpaid, as Sulu's confirmed, it's about 5%.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you. At this time, can I hand back to Rolf for closing remarks?
Yeah, thanks very much, and appreciate you guys staying with us for the full hour with Sulu and what might sound as a long preamble in terms of trying to give you color. We hope that we've given you a bit more color. You know, we want to be transparent about the kind of macro that we're operating. It is tough, as you guys well know. You know, we've got a good team on the ground that's focused on execution and trying to manage, you know, the macro we operate in, the macro we don't control all the forces. But we have a good strategy and a resilient strategy that we'll look to execute. And look forward to engaging you with our half-year results, you know, which we will present to you in early August. And if there's any other announcements that come through, you know, for sure we will, in you know, call an ad hoc call to update you. But we feel pretty confident about the work that Carl and team are doing in Nigeria on the NIN, the work that Charles is doing in South Africa to ensure that we continue to remain resilient, and the work Serene is doing on fintech in particular. I'll highlight those, as well as the work Tulu and the team are doing on the balance sheet and ensuring that we've got a balance sheet that creates both resilience but also enables us to take advantage of opportunities. As in these difficult times, you know, you're focused on the negatives, but there are also opportunities that will come up. So appreciate your time, and any further questions that you may have, you know, please email Kurt Tato. He's available 24/7 for you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you very much for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.